friends, welcome to another episode of Kingdom Minds. This is a podcast where we talk about Kingdom Hearts and also the Kingdom of God. And my name is Karis.
And my name is David.
Amazing. And once again, we are joined by our good friend, Jaren, to continue our discussion. Hello! On what worlds we would like in the future of Kingdom Hearts. But last time we did Disney, and this time we are doing non-Disney crossover whatever thing. So, Jaren, would you like to go first? Because you are our guest.
Sure. So, the very first thing I thought of when we discussed the concept of non-Disney, non-Square properties, the first thing I thought of was Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yes! Yes. Freaking.
And I've got a pretty decent, like, idea in mind.
So good. I'm so ready. Excellent. That's such a good one.
Yeah.
What was your idea?
Oh, basically, it would be set sometime during, like, season two, book two of Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
It would be, like, just kind of a middle adventure for the gang, as it were. Prince Zuko hears about a hooded figure carrying a black box out in, like, the forest. And Zuko and Iroh run into Aang and his friends, and Sora and his friends. And they have an adventure trying to track down the mysterious black hood and the black box, whether that's Zigbar / Lucio or the Master of Masters or whoever, up for whoever to decide. But it would be a fun idea because Zuko wants to claim the black box and reclaim his honor, specifically by seeking out this mythical faded item.
I wonder if Sora and Donald will be considered vendors with their magic abilities.
Maybe. They haven't been able to use. Well, have we not seen earth-based magic yet?
No.
It's a thing in the Final Fantasy series, but
water and fire definitely. And
yeah.
Sometimes.
That's so much fun. Yeah, you could do so much with that as well. That is so good. And, like, you could have a mini game where they have to, like, fly off or around or what have you. Like,
yes.
There would be so many things. It's so good. Or, like, you know, you have to, it could be, like, a thing, like, in Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, where you go there, and then you have to go back, and, like, the second time you have to, like, save an Earth Kingdom town or some what have you. That would be
or
great.
Or could be, like, Book 3 era. And Zuko could have joined by then while Sora was gone. Maybe even Riku would show up and they'd have, like, the two of them would bond over, you know, redemption.
That's beautiful.
Zuko is my favorite character, in case you can't tell.
Oh, he's brilliant. Oh,
he's great. Mm-hmm. I love Zuko. One of the best cartoon characters ever.
Here's the thing, though. I would really love to see Sora and Sokka, like, just interact.
Okay, yeah.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Like, they're just goofing off, taking nothing seriously. Beautiful.
That is a pretty great idea.
Excellent. What else?
The next idea I had, How to Train Your Dragon.
It's one of the, spicy idea.
I knew you, of all people, would be excited about that one.
Right. So
basically, I don't care if it's a retelling of any of the films or an original plot. I think just in terms of setting and party members and mini games, you kind of have it set. I would love to see that.
That would be so beautiful. Like, I want this so bad. You don't understand.
Me too.
Like, just flying around Berk and, oh, can you imagine? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So good. When would it take place, do you reckon? I would say
definitely after the first film.
Yeah.
So you could have dragons be, like, part of the world.
Yeah, that would be great. here for it.
So after that, this is a bit of a it would seem like a meme answer at first, but the more I think about it, the more it would work, and that would be Shrek.
That is a meme answer, but I like it. I think I've heard Jason from the Ansem Report talk about how he wants Shrek in Kingdom Hearts 4. And I think that's a hilarious idea.
Like, it's really not a terrible idea if you think about it. You have basically a whole world right there for you to mess around in. But also, like, thematically, it would kind of work too.
Yeah, because you've got, like, all of the fairy tale creatures together, like, in a ghetto, essentially. And Sora, he spent his whole life, you know, rescuing princesses and what have you, and interacting with, you know, different fairy tale things. So for him to show up and be like, oh, hey, like, I recognize this Pinocchio, but it's a different Pinocchio. It would be like...
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, we're going into the unreality, the world of fiction. Yeah, you could do something with that.
Yeah, you have the world of fiction where Disney does not exist and DreamWorks is superior, which I would argue is the case. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, amazing. Such a good idea.
Yeah. Anyway, after that... So this one actually isn't a bad idea either. Steven Universe.
Okay, I've never seen Steven Universe.
Oh, all right.
Unfortunately. But I like the art style. And I think it's fun from what I have seen of it. But I know nothing about it. So.
Well, Sora and Steven are fairly similar enough characters, just in terms of their personalities. They're both little wholesome boys who have this, like, you know, tremendous destiny, fate, whatever. But yeah, like, I think it'd be fun. The world of Steven Universe is there. You can have an original plot line with those characters. It would make sense for, like, Heartless or Nobodies or whatever to invade. Wouldn't mind it. It'd be fun.
That would be so much fun. I feel like I gotta watch it now and see what's what.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's a good show. I haven't seen it yet either.
Alright, I'm trying to those were, like, the three that I had.
Well, that's cool. Like, if you don't have any more, that's fine. If you do, like, if you think of any, you can come back to you.
I think I'm good. I think those four were, like, the best I could come up with.
Excellent.
Cool.
David, do you want to go next?
I guess I'll go next. So mine are kind of like, some of these are a little bit Disney extended, but it's more of like things that are a little bit less likely to appear in Kingdom Hearts, but might... Maybe still possibly some of these in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my first one, which is probably not likely, but is actually still technically Disney, is DuckTales. I actually love the new DuckTales TV show, but I actually prefer the original. It's got a warm place in my heart.
Very fun.
Maybe if they did the original, it could be like a... Maybe Duckburg could be, like, on the outskirts of Disney Castle, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be a cool idea to see, like... We've seen kind of a lot of the DuckTales characters in Kingdom Hearts, but we haven't seen, like, them all together in one place, like, doing, like, a DuckTales-style adventure.
Yeah, they're kind of just, like, there, and they don't do anything. Mm-hmm. It would be fun for them to actually have a role in the story. Instead of Huey, Dewey, and Louie, they own a shop. Well, that's great. What else have we got?
They own a gummy shop in Twilight Town. how many like denizens of Twilight Town are looking for inner space travel parts?
Yeah, exactly. It's a booming market.
And, I think
And then Scrooge, you know, they did something real different with him. He owns a shop. He just owns a restaurant instead.
Yeah.
I really think outside the box there.
I think he's got like he's going to build an intergalactic chain of restaurants.
Of course. Yeah. You know, big capitalist.
He is a capitalist in every sense of the word.
Absolutely.
Cool. Excellent. So my next idea was see, really have any Studio Ghibli movie, I think would work really well.
There we go.
Kingdom Hearts.
Yes.
Something like a Spirited Away, I think would be really awesome.
Oh my gosh.
Even Totoro as a summon would be something.
Yeah.
Although I think Totoro is like he's kind of a peaceful character, so maybe you just run into him or do a mini game with him, like Remy or Winnie the Pooh.
Maybe he just like prevents you from being hurt while you haven't summoned. Like,
it could be like a healing summon. Yeah.
Right. He just keeps healing you, or maybe he like even when he's gone, he still kind of like boosts your healing a little bit.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Or he's just a tank, like the giant chocobo. There's that too. Yeah, no, that would be so good. Like, oh, could you imagine, like, Sora running around in the Spirited Away and, like, I don't know.
Oh, that would be so beautiful. Just imagine that on the Unreal Engine. Oof.
Oh.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Like, even if they did the 2D art style, though, like, but in Unreal Engine, so something like,
yeah,
I don't know, that'd be so good.
Okay, so my next three are kind of Disney extended universe or Disney properties, but not like under the Disney banner. And first two are a couple that probably people have wanted, and we might maybe actually see at some point. That would be Marvel and Star Wars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking specifically for Marvel. I was trying to think, well, if they did Marvel, what movie they do? I was thinking it would probably have to be the first Avengers movie, just because if you're going to do Marvel, you want to see multiple characters in the movie. Mm-hmm. Or, probably even better would be just an original story with various Avengers characters. I think that would probably work really well, too.
I mean, that would be a better Avengers game than the Avengers game that came out last
year. The one actually released by Square Enix.
You're right. No, that'd be so good. Like,
Sui Nomura was like, I'll show you how to make an Avengers game.
Like, I love it.
He's already done designs. He's already done designs for Spider-Man, Iron Man, Captain America for like these. Very expensive figures you can buy.
That was really cool.
I think I've seen those, but I don't remember what they look like, so I'm going to have to look that up.
Oh, they're cool. They're really cool.
Interesting.
I think Spider-Man's reminded me a little bit of the armor from Death by Sleep.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Ooh.
So for Star Wars, I think what movie would be best. I think we can all agree that we can avoid the prequels and sequels.
I think Clone Wars would be cool.
Yeah, Clone Wars would be cool. I could see them doing that. Especially if they did like the Clone Wars animation style. I think that would be,
cool. That's how it would work.
Yeah. Or, if they were to go the realistic route like they did with Pirates of the Caribbean, I think definitely we could see them in A New Hope.
Yeah.
Just kind of classic Star Wars. Can't really go wrong there. Or maybe even The Mandalorian.
Wouldn't mind that. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I'd love to see Mando in Kingdom Hearts. That would be incredible.
Because part of Mando's whole thing is he's just kind of a socially awkward outcast who keeps making friends with these very powerful and important people. Mm. And he's confused by things like Luke Skywalker himself shows up and he's like, are you a Jedi? I think it'd be fun to have him just completely dumbfounded and confused by Keyblade.
Like, Sora using the Force when he like rides around and stuff.
Yeah.
On his magic.
Okay, so like his Keyblade that he got there, would it form change into a lightsaber?
Probably.
I think so.
I mean, that would be cool.
So Young Xehanort basically use lightsabers.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Xemnas especially.
Xemnas, he got lightsabers too.
That's right. That's right. Very cool. Oh, that's a fun idea as well. I feel like that's not like out of the realm of possibility as well, like considering how huge Mando is.
I think we could definitely see that in the future.
Absolutely.
Maybe in whatever game, if that takes place in Verum Rex / Unreality, could be an excuse for them to enter the kind of extended Disney Universe stuff.
Yeah. It would actually be a really good excuse to do that.
My last one, this is one that I just really, really want to see, but I know it's probably never, ever going to happen, is... Even though it's still a Disney property, is Lost, the ABC show. I don't know if anyone's ever seen Lost. Have any of y'all seen Lost?
I've never seen it, but I'm familiar, and I know it's like as mind-twistingly confusing as Kingdom Hearts can be.
Kingdom Hearts is still way more confusing. okay, so... I should have asked you guys before, but I might go over a little bit of spoilers, but I think Lost is confusing enough where even if I talk about some of these things, probably still wondering what's going on. So, I mean, just like if you were to explain a few things here and there with Kingdom Hearts, people would still be confused as to what's going on. So, but there's just a whole lot of similar themes in Lost and Kingdom Hearts. Characters on island. It's a very mysterious island. The bad guy is basically like a heartless. Like he has no body. He can turn into a column of black. His only real form is a column of black smoke. And his whole stick is like he just wants to leave the island, just like Xehanort and Riku. There's even a scene, a flashback of him, the good guy, that's like exactly like this opening of Kingdom Hearts 3 with Xehanort and Erica's playing chess, playing like this ancient like Egyptian game with black and white pieces. And then there's like the light at the heart of the island. I mean, this light is basically Kingdom Hearts. Like it's like the source of everything. And like that guy is trying to so like in Kingdom Hearts, the guy is just trying to claim the power of Kingdom Hearts. Lost, the bad guy is trying to put it out, to snuff it out and get rid of it.
Very fun. Like, the symbolism. I see how this could work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's just a whole lot of similar themes there. And it's just a really great show. If you've never watched it, you got to watch it.
I might check it out sometime.
So yeah, that was my list.
Good list, all right.
Solid list, yeah.
I've not seen Lost, but I have seen Heroes, which was like another show that was around at the same time. And I have like, they were like the two, I guess, that like people compare, I feel like, from that era. So it's like you either watched one or the other, or both, I guess. But anyways, very fun. I'm going to do mine super quick because we only have a few minutes left. But first of all, we have VeggieTales, all right? So this is a Christian podcast. So I was like, hey, what Christian property can we have Sora be in? And I was like, oh, it's obvious. It's VeggieTales. So Sora gets there and he has to tell kids' stories from the Bible as a vegetable. I'm thinking he's a broccoli. I don't know.
He's a pineapple. He has spiky hair.
Oh yes.
Okay, so Sora the pineapple. Yeah, I feel like this is my weakest pitch because I don't really know what else it would be, but I think that could be fun. And then And next up, I also said How to Train Your Dragon. There's not much I have to say about it because I was gushing earlier. It's my dream, okay? Hiccup is my favorite character from anything, one of. I just think that that would be so much fun to see them both together. And I feel like they are both wholesome boys, to borrow Jaren's phrase. And that would be so good and so much fun. And okay, so my next idea. Okay, so Nintendo, you won't put Sora in Smash. So obvs, we gotta put Smash in Sora. This is how we work this. Okay.
The ultimate
crossover level. Like, you have Cloud and Sephiroth show up again with all the other Smash characters, like, I don't know, Kirby, Mario, Luigi, like, everyone's together, everyone's happy. So Sakurai, make it happen, okay? So yeah, you just have a Kingdom Hearts Smash level. That's my idea.
Perfect.
That'd be awesome. In Olympus Coliseum commerce.
Yes, exactly. It's the ultimate Coliseum. Perfect. Okay, next up we would have Hamilton. So Hamilton's on Disney Plus, right? So technically Disney property. Which means
they technically own that, I think.
Like, Sora could be transported to the stage where he gets to perform alongside Leslie Oldham Jr. and Lin-Manuel Miranda.
It's Atlantica all over again.
Yes, exactly. Do some, you know, it's Melody of Memory. We're tying it all in. You know, he's okay. Gonna do some...
I enjoy the gameplay.
Yeah, so he's there, and I guess maybe he, like, takes the spot of, of Lawrence, I don't know, but, or just, he's just, like, an extra, but he just shows up and he just has to, like, be an Hamilton, I don't know. I just think that'd be fun.
I like it. I want to know what the Keyblade for that world would look like.
Yeah, my ideas are so terrible. But anyway, so,
there's that. It's great.
So my number one crossover idea that I really love would be My Hero Academia. Because...
Oh, okay.
And the way I see this going down, are either of you familiar with the show?
I have never seen it.
Okay.
But I've heard about it.
I haven't seen it either, so...
Excellent. The way I see this happening, it would be the entrance exam to get into the school. So it's a school for heroes, for those who don't know. It's a very popular anime, and it's so much fun. So he gets to he has to take the exam, and Sora's like, oh, right, a school for kids who want to become heroes. Like, this is amazing. And he nails the entrance exam, because although he doesn't have a quirk, which is a superpower, he doesn't need one, because he has a Keyblade, and he can do magic. So I think that the climax of this would be that Sora gets the highest mark of the entrance exam, and then he has to, like, just be in school for the rest of the level and, like, learn about... He just has to go to class and learn about hero stuff. And maybe he has a heart-to-heart with Deku about what it means to be a true hero or whatnot. And then they have to team up to fight Bakugo's actually a heartless. I don't know. There's so many possibilities. And I think that crossover Kingdom Hearts and My Hero Academia would just be the ultimate thing ever.
Best thing is that Sora finally goes to school.
Yes, we finally see Sora learn anything, and that would be really good.
Perfect.
I love that line in Kingdom Hearts 2 where the Twilight Town gangs talk about school, and Sora's like, school?
Homework.
What's that? It's like, these are strange terms.
And now my summer vacation is over. If in the chat. Yeah, I don't know. I think that would be so much fun. Yeah, Sora gets to this school for heroes, and then he just has to go to class.
And the final boss, there wouldn't be a boss. It would be just like an exam, like a standardized test.
Multiple choice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they have to do, like, actual classwork as well as all the hero stuff, so that would be fun. And, yeah, and he gets to interact with all these other kids that have superpowers, and that would be dope, so.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Sweet.
Well, that's the segment. That is our list. We hope you enjoyed them, and please let us know what crossover worlds that you, the listener, would like to see in Kingdom Hearts in the future. Excellent. Thank you, Jaren, for coming on again.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Always willing to join.
That was a cool idea.
It was a fun time, and I hope that we get to talk again at some Absolutely. Other point.
Hey guys, so we're going to go ahead and go into our creator spotlight, and we're also going to kind of combine our creator spotlight with our spiritual theme segment, and I guess you'll see why. Karis, you want to talk about who the creator is this week?
Yes, so basically in the episode that we recorded with Landy, which I think is going to go up before this, he told us, he was like, you guys, you need to check out this video, and we were like, okay, and then I watched it and I was like, we need to talk about this. It's so good. So our creator is Sunny Novus, and you've probably heard of him because he's been kind of blowing up a little bit. He's still not got like too many subs. He's on like 1k or 1.1k at the minute. But like, yeah, his video's been doing really well. It's got like 15,000 views, and he just dropped a new video like 3 days ago, which I have not seen. But his first video came out at the start of April. It's called Prophecy of the True King, a Master of Masters theory. And it's fascinating. It is so good. Yeah, I didn't know what to expect at all because it's a brand new creator, but it's just such a good video.
Yeah, it's really good. You know, a lot of Kingdom Hearts, it's more of a Kingdom Hearts theory, but also a little bit of a deep dive analysis into, like, the themes and philosophy of Kingdom Hearts. I think a lot of the Kingdom Hearts theory videos and video channels, they kind of just go wild, kind of just throwing darts at the board. And you know, eventually something sticks just because they just have so many wild, crazy theories. But his theories, I think, are really good because they kind of tie in with the themes of the characters, and it's not just about the lore, but it's like, you know, what would Nomura do in story wise? And I think that's what makes his theories really compelling, where you watch it and you're kind of like, oh, I could see that like actually being a thing, because it fits with the theme and it fits with the story. And I think that's usually where people kind of forget, you know, like, you know, if you think about like something like, let's say, the upcoming Spider-Man movie, and there's all these like theories about what it's going to be and stuff. But I rarely ever hear people talking about, like, well, what's the character story that Peter Parker is going to be going on? Because people are always obsessed with, like, who's going to cameo, what's the crossover going to be, what's the new lore going to be, and this and that. And similarly with Kingdom Hearts, it's always like, what's the new lore? What's the explanation to the mystery? But it's very rarely, how are our characters progressing as characters throughout the story. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really good. And especially, so what I'll say is, if you're listening to this, stop listening to this, go watch the video, and then come back, because we're going to talk about it pretty in-depth right here.
Yes.
So do that. So pause right now. Okay, I'm going to assume that everybody has now watched it. And if you haven't, do that. I don't know. He's really articulate, and he's got an amazing way of like explaining every thought and like diving into it in meticulous detail. And so he starts off and he's talking about When he mentions verses 13, you know, that's a thing that like every Kingdom Hearts theorist, you know, talks about. Oh yeah, it's the ties to verses 13, and look, it's Luxor and blah blah blah. But like, and it's kind of like, yeah, like we get it, but when he talks about it, it's amazing because he's able to pick out all these different things. Like, because they've got these four party members and they all, like, correlate to, you know, the different people in the trailer versus 13. You know, you've got Yzora and you've got the, you know, Luxor and you've got Damex and stuff. And, like, who's the fourth person? And it's like, whoa. It's really cool because I don't feel like most people have put all those things together. So that was really awesome. And I was really just, like, impressed by that. And also just his whole... the idea of, like, he talks about, like, Noctis being, like, the false king, and also how the Master of Masters has ties to Noctis as well, you know, being, like, the one sky, or, like, the false king as well.
Right.
And that's really kind of where, I guess, the spiritual stuff comes into it, but I'll just say, like, his editing is so amazing as well. Like, every time he does... So at the end of the video, he talks about what is the Master of Masters' like actual name, and he's like, "I guess it's no harm. My name is," and then it's got the name, and it does this like old school VHS effect. It's really good.
But
it's great, and he does such a good job of tying in all of the archetypes and everything. And all of the naming conventions that, like, Nomura's done so far and being like, what could it possibly be? And that's super interesting. I was, like,
so definitely the first time I think I was pretty convinced. I'm like, I could see that. Like, I think, like, I might actually be surprised if that's not his name.
Absolutely. Like, I think I commented on his video and I was like, bruh, like, imagine it was one of these. I was like, wow, I really hope like one of your predictions turns out to be right, because they're all amazing names with like massively symbolic meaning. So I guess we could go into each one of them, because I think it was really interesting what he had to say about that.
Yes. And so I remember the last one, I think kind of the ultimate one. What were the other two that he mentioned?
So the first one was Sol.
Okay.
And then the second one was Moloch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of biblical stuff in there.
Yeah, that threw me off a little. I was like, whoa. I was like, that is so evil. I hope it's not that. But I'm also like, imagine it was.
Yeah.
Oofed.
Yeah, so for people who are... Okay, well, let's start with the first one. So, and then, of course, the last one was Astrum, which I think is probably the most likely one. But let's start with the first one. And I think we can also start tying in some of the spiritual themes with these names as well.
Yes.
So maybe you want to cue the spiritual theme music.
Yes. Right here for this one too. We'll play it right here.
So the first one, Sol, Sol meaning sun, S-U-N in Latin, right? I think there's definitely a lot of biblical themes there. I mean, Jesus in the Bible is not just called the Son of God, S-O-N, but he's also called the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness. I believe Sonny was making some parallels kind of with Satan, also Satan being called the Morning Star as well in the Bible, right?
Yes, and he also mentioned it you know, being a derivative of Solomon as well. And he mentioned, yes, you know, Solomon's idolatry, the sin of, you know, having other gods that aren't God. And so the Master of Masters then, you know, elevating himself above God, or, you know, trying to be the creator, you know, all powerful and so on, which I thought, hey, like, interesting. that sounds familiar.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's interesting because the Master of Masters is still kind of an enigmatic character. His actions aren't entirely evil, nor are they, is it clear if they're entirely good either, which is kind of similar to King Solomon, because he was the wisest man ever, and he even wrote books of the Bible, but he also turned to idolatry and polygamy, and led to the division of the king of the kingdom of Israel. So yeah, he's not, I mean, the biblical characters are not simple black and white characters. They're complex individuals that God uses for his ultimate purposes, despite their flaws.
Right.
So I think that's really interesting that Solomon being one of the most complicated of those characters definitely fits with the Master of Masters.
For sure. And I think as well, if you think about, so Solomon, as well as falling into the sin of idolatry, like before that he served the Lord and he built the temple and all of that, then he's also like the most wealthy king, like in the whole Bible at his time. You know, he was the king of the world, like literally. You know, he had trade, like that's how he got into idolatry, was because he had these trade partners and he was marrying all these foreign women and they brought their foreign gods, you know, into his house and all that sort of stuff. But he was doing all this trade and he was building up his like empire, and it was like the biggest thing the world had ever seen at that point. And like, it's kind of, it reminds me of Satan in a way, because I mean, obviously he like, he was blessed by God, and God came to him and said, like, in what way do you like, do you want to be blessed? And he said, oh, give me the wisdom. But then he's like, oh, God said, oh, that's such a good thing that you asked for, because you asked for wisdom, I will give you a long life and I will give you wealth. So it's not that those things are inherently evil, but I think that the corruption comes from that power. And I guess, in turn, like, because it reminds me of when Jesus was tempted by the devil, and the devil's like, I've got all this power, I've got everything, like, all you need to do is worship me and you got it all. So I guess that's the sin as well, is not having the things, but, you know, the desire for that power is really where that comes into it. And I guess the Master of Masters really wants to be pulling all the strings. I think it's quite obvious, especially that he's got, you know, the Book of Prophecies, and he's trying to, like, have his finger in every pie and know what's going on in everything and be controlling everything. So, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm curious to know where Nomura is going to go with this character, if he's going to stay kind of a wild card type of character, or if he's going to come out as truly on the good side or truly on the evil side. I could definitely see that maybe he started out with good intentions and then just kind of started going down a dark path over time.
Yeah. I guess we don't know that for sure either way.
Yeah.
But I mean, personally, I think I saw Sunny Novus tweet this actually, or could have been someone else. I think it was Sunny Novus, but he was like, I would prefer it if they don't make him like a sympathetic villain. And I think I would agree with that, because I think it's always been about Kingdom Hearts has always had the light and the dark element, but I don't know if, like, maybe if there's more gray areas that could be interesting too, but who's to say at this point? But I guess
go ahead.
No, I was gonna say we can move on and chat about the next name, which is Moloch. So
I guess for those who don't know,
Moloch is one of the, he mentioned this a little bit in the video, but Moloch is one of the pagan gods that the Canaanites worshipped, and in rather gruesome ways they performed child sacrifices on the altars of this god. But he mentioned in the naming, Moloch means king, right?
Yeah.
That has to do with theme of like the false king, tying into Yozora, the false king or falsus rex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of wonder if, you know, the idea of Moloch as king, maybe at one point in the distant past, the Canaanites like did worship God, like the true God as king, but their version of that God became corrupted over time, and until it became this kind of perverted thing that was demanding child sacrifices and had a bull for a head and that kind of stuff. Because I mean, God, the Creator, yeah, is the true King.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, with all of these pagan gods, like ultimately it is, you know, demonic, and you know, they are ultimately worshiping Lucifer. When he mentioned that, I was like, sheesh, makes me a little bit uncomfortable. But I mean, if they did that, mm-hmm, then I think there couldn't be like a good side to a character that has that name, in my opinion. It's just a loaded thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of turn. Be like naming it Adolf or something.
Right. Like, yeah. Because I think he even mentioned, you know, with the child sacrifice, and he was like, look at the Keyblade War. And it was like, I guess.
Yep, it's a little dark, but yeah.
It is a little dark. A trigger warning, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. So it would be interesting if they did that for sure. It'd be like, yo, this is taking a turn. I kind of hope they don't. So I think I prefer the two other names. But
yeah.
But yeah.
But on that note, I do think it's interesting. I think maybe we've talked about this a little bit before on the podcast, but I think maybe we should do in the future another episode just talking about the idea of kind of the king, the true king, and the kingdom. Because the king, you know, with the crown, and the crown that Sora has on his necklace, and the crown that he wears, and all the cover artwork and stuff.
And the throne.
There's definitely you know, this kind of underlying spiritual theme of like, I think what it is just the inner longing for a true king. Have you ever heard Andrew Peterson's Christmas album, Behold the Lamb?
No.
It's a really good Christmas album. He kind of writes a lot of the songs from the perspective of like a first century Jew anticipating the arrival of the Messiah. And one of the songs is, I forgot the name of the song now, but it's like going through the Old Testament and talking about how like we had King Saul, but he started out strong and then he failed. And the chorus is like, we want a king on a throne full of wisdom with a sword in his fist. Prophet, tell us will there ever be a king like this? And then he talks about David, and David's like, yeah, he is that king. But then David's gone, and Solomon comes, and Solomon fails. And then the chorus repeats, and instead of saying, then it says again, you know, will there ever be a king like this? Then the verse talks about Isaiah 53, talk about Jesus as a suffering servant, and talking about how he's going to take away our sins. It's just a really cool kind of lot. I think it really captures that inner longing for, we need a king, somebody who's going to come and set everything right.
Yeah.
I just think that's, and I think that Kingdom Hearts kind of touches on that nerve, that inner longing in everybody, that we want a king who's going to come and set everything right. And ultimately Jesus is that king. We don't have to wait for, well, I mean, we're waiting, but we're not waiting for something imaginary or merely fictitious. And again, you know, we always talk about this, but I think the reason Kingdom Hearts resonates with people is because it does touch on something that is ultimately real, that we're ultimately longing for, that eternity that God has put in our hearts.
Yeah, I think I haven't heard that song, but I do know his song, Is He Worthy? He wrote that, didn't he?
Yes. Oh, it's a good one too.
That song is amazing. And it's got the very same theme actually, about who is worthy to open the scroll. You know, because our world is broken. And I think, like, not that we want to talk about Satan all the time, because we don't, but it reminds me of the verse, you know, John 10:10, you know, that the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I'm sure I've quoted that one here more than once, because it's one of my favorite, it's one of my, like, life verses. But it's like, you know, Satan, Lucifer, the false king, whatever you want to call him, like, he's come to destroy things. He's come to steal and kill and, you know, demanding sacrifice and all that crap. But Jesus has come to restore everything. And I really hope that eventually we get, like, that resolution to the Kingdom Hearts story, because it's been a long time coming. You know. And there's twists and turns.
Even the Sora chess piece is represented by the crown. I think it'd be cool to see in the future, like, kind of like, there's the good king, which of course has to be Sora. And then there's, or the king of light, and then there's, like, the king of darkness, and some character representing the king of darkness, where there's kind of like this battle between two kingdoms. I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be awesome. So I think the final name that Sunny Novus talks about in the video is the name Astrum, which in Latin means, like, the star, the star, not just a star, or, like, heaven, or, you know, planet, or mortal, or sun, or sky. So it's basically, like, everything.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned this phrase, Arcanum. Arcanorum or whatever, which is like the mystery of mysteries. So that's sort of the secret, I guess, behind all magic and stuff like that. And so, yeah, I guess it, to me, like, that comes back to the idea of, you know, Satan being like the lord of this world, like the prince of this world. Like, he's got all the power, he's got everything going on.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit similar, I guess, to what I mentioned earlier, the kingdom of light versus the kingdom of darkness. I think, or the true king versus the false king. I think there's also kind of like the true heaven, and there's like a false heaven. So there's the true heaven, which is, you know, God's domain, God's kingdom. Think of, or the Garden of Eden. But then, you know, obviously in Genesis we get the Tower of Babel, which is, you know, a quite literal skylight kylam. It's a stairway to heaven, but it's the false version. And I think it's interesting, you know, because when skylight kylam, of course, kylam, he mentions, is also, it can also be one of those names that's a synonym for astrum. In Latin. But when I first saw Skylight Kylam, I think I immediately thought of the Tower of Babel. You know, it's like this probably, and I'm sure that was some inspiration for that.
Right.
Just this kind of stairway to the sky. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we still don't know if that's meant to be a positive or negative connotation, because we don't really know much about the history of Skylight Kylam, like how it was built, like how it ended, or if it had been ended, like what happened to it, what happened to the people who built it. You know, was it a tower? Was it a Tower of Babel situation where their kind of pride and arrogance was their downfall? Or is it more like a pure kind of thing where it is meant to be just kind of a just a basic symbol for heaven itself, just kind of looking forward to that in a positive way?
Yeah.
I think similarly to the Master of Masters, we don't quite know yet. Is he like a false heaven, like the Tower of Babel, or is it a reference to, like, you know, the good kind of heaven?
Yeah, and Skylar's weird as well, because like, I really like the design of it and stuff, but like when you go there, because it's like so huge, but everyone's gone, it's like, because obviously what happened when for those who don't know, so the Tower of Babel, what happened there is that God created people, he created humanity, and they all came from the same family, and they all spoke one language. And then they decided in their pride, hey, we don't need God, we're going to build a tower to heaven, right? So then God comes, and he's like, ah, look at these people, what are they doing? You know, so then he confuses their language. So what happens is then no one can communicate, so they stop building the tower and they abandon it. So that's sort of what it seems like to me, is it just, yeah, it seems abandoned, like there's just no one there. You know, because I guess, what happened? Is it not like, is it like the remnant of like Daybreak Town, right?
Right. It is what's left of Daybreak Town, but it's not quite clear what version of Skye Calling we're seeing in Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah.
He actually goes into that in his second video, actually, but like, it's really not clear. Is it like, did we travel back in time? Are we in the real Skye Calling right now? Is it Xehanort's dream? Is it his memory? Like, we're not quite sure.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. It's interesting. I always thought there's like a strange vibe, like when you're there, like, because it's just so big and empty. But I know. I like it. It's good. Like, I like the design. It's pretty cool. But yeah, but I guess the last thing I wanted to mention, you know, going back to the Master of Masters potentially being this, you know, archetype of Lucifer or Satan, is the verse from John chapter 4, where Jesus is saying to the people that he's speaking to, because we are all born into sin, right? So he's saying, you're of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. And he was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I say the truth, you do not believe me. And I don't know. I think that's interesting because to me, like, that's what it seems like the Master of Masters is doing, because I mean, like, what in like back cover when he's, you know, doing all the stuff with like the foretellers, and he's only telling little pieces of the truth to like each one of them. He's never actually explaining what's really going on. He's manipulating everything. It seems like he is a liar, and that is his nature. And so I don't know. But
yeah, it could be. Yeah, we still don't know yet.
We still don't know.
It's crazy. It's crazy that he's been around for this long and we still have really no idea if he's even a good or bad character.
It's wild. That's pretty
impressive.
It is. And I think like that's what makes him really interesting villain.
Mm-hmm.
Is because we don't know his motivations and what he really wants. That like that cutscene where he's talking to Yun Zaynar is like one of the most interesting like scenes in all of Kingdom Hearts, because it's so yeah, it's just, what is he talking about? Like, it's so mysterious. And so I don't know, we're excited to see where the series goes, but yep, that's everything I think on my end. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, I think maybe, you know, just to close, going off of the verse that you mentioned, for our listeners out there, you know, if you're still, you know, undecided about where you are in relationship to God, to Christ, just like there's the chess board in Kingdom Hearts, there's two sides. There was a scene in Lost that similar to that, I think in like the first or second episode, where they're playing with like a black and white pieces on like a backgammon game, and Locke says it's two sides, one light, one dark, one good, one evil. And there's, you know, there's a true king, there's a false king, there's a true heaven and a false heaven. So, you know, you really want to make sure that you're part of the right side. And you know, the Master of Masters is an interesting, you know, fictional character, definitely. But fortunately, I think in the Bible, I don't think God has made himself all that mysterious. I think he's made himself very clearly known, and he's made his nature known to us. He hasn't hidden from us at all.
That's right. Yeah. Because Jesus has come that we can have life and have it abundantly. Right.
Yeah, he's not wearing a dark hood and hiding his face from us. He came and he revealed himself to us and spoke to us.
That's right.
And left his words behind.
Yeah. Good stuff. So thank you everybody for listening again to this episode of Kingdom Minds. We had a lot of fun. Thank you to Jaren for coming on. I want to also say a huge thank you to @TheNoctane on Twitter for doing a really fun art thing for this episode where he drew Sora as Deku, because I couldn't get the whole My Kingdom Hearts Academia idea out of my brain. And I was like, Noctane, please. Can you do this? And he was like, yes. And he did. And it was amazing. Do check him out. He's wonderful. And a really good friend of mine as well. We interact a ton. What a lovely human. Thank you as ever for listening to this episode of Kingdom Minds. I really hope you enjoyed it. Please let us know what worlds you would like to visit in future Kingdom Hearts games. That'd be super fun. As always, you can join our Discord. The link will be in the show notes. You can also like us on Facebook. We are Kingdom Minds Podcast on there. And we are at Kingdom Minds Pod on Twitter and Instagram. I never update the Instagram, so I should probably delete that, I guess. I don't know. It's good for the algorithm. It's good for Google to have lots of results. When you type in Kingdom Minds, it does come up. So that's good, I guess. Anyways, thank you very much for listening. If you would also like to support the show, you can do that at patreon.com/KingdomMindsPod. There is no pressure, but we would appreciate it tremendously. But join the Discord. That's the best way to support us, because you can interact with our community. And you can do that for free. There is no paywall to access our Discord. The link is also on our Twitter. Thank you, as ever, for listening. Have a wonderful day. Goodbye.